listening on me somewhere, listening on me somewhere, listening for my name. When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls my name, I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer.
Are you going to answer? One day. Soon. Soon and very soon. Amen. You believe that? Oh, man. Praise the Lord. That just charged my battery enough right there. You may be seated. It's good to be here tonight and to fellowship with you. And to praise the Lord. I've been thinking about us clapping all day long. Have you been clapping today, anybody?
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, I know that He loves it. It's just amazing. Have you been feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit? And as we were talking back there, it just seems I'm different. Is there something different about you? Do you feel closer to the Lord? Do you feel more in tune with the Lord?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, that is the adoption process of what the prophet told us about. You know, you've got the Holy Spirit, the great tutor that's around you, watching you, everything that you do. And I want the report to come back, and it's like, oh, Father, he's just like you. He acts like you. He talks like you. He walks like you. He says, that's my son. And he says, now whatever he binds on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Then we're adopted sons and daughters of God. Amen. We're headed that way. I believe that with all my heart. He's coming for a bride. The bride has to get yourselves ready. And when the bride gets herself ready, things are going to take place. And I believe we're seeing things taking place right now.
Amen.
We see the power of the Word living in individuals. And Brother Branham, once again, he says the only thing that's hindering the bride is the bride itself making herself ready. So it's not as I can't wait until this is going to happen and when this happens and when it's happening. It's happening.
Amen.
It is you. He said faith. That's what the scripture says when he come back. Well, I find faith. If you've got faith, then it's everything is yours. Everything that belongs to you as sons and daughters of God. He says, once you recognize who that you are, there's no stopping you. And that's what we're doing by the grace of God, hoping that get all the trash out, the more trash we get out, and it's a daily job to keep doing it. It's daily. It just doesn't happen, and it's like, oh, it's done. It's like Brother Branham said, it's like, oh, get baptized, the battle's over. You just got in the battle. You don't even know what the battle is. But now you don't fight it alone. He fights it. And once you have that, and then you have the faith, then it puts it into action, as Brother Branham's been telling us. You grab that double-edged sword, both hands. Because it's the Word, and he says it cuts coming and going and back and forth. And he says and cuts all the world and everything off of us, and then we really become sons and daughters of God. And that's what we're doing here tonight, is to be more like that, more like him, and less like this. Which is, thank the Lord, do you see this? He doesn't see this. Isn't that, oh, I'm so happy. Unfortunately, I see this. I see my mistakes, and I see everything that I do wrong, and the old enemy that he keeps beating us down. But to think that our Savior sees none of that. It's underneath of the blood. No matter what we do, he's there to pick us right back up again. And heard the prophet the other night. He goes, you're going to fall. You're going to make mistakes, but you don't sit down. He says, a real son or daughter of God, he says, he stands right back up. And now you should be able to stand up and say, I got the Holy Ghost. No, you ain't got it. I got it. Are you sure you got it? Oh, I got it. Are you sure? Oh, listen to this. Are you real sure? Oh, I'm real sure. Sorry. Man, you know, that really gives the devil a punch. He hates it. He hates it, and God loves it. I believe it is. I think it makes him so proud of you, because that we create atmospheres, and we have to all the time. And it really struck me from something that Brother said the other night, Brother Branham said, and I was telling you how I didn't know how. And we get to a place sometimes as it's hard to sometimes is how do you open up a conversation with somebody to talk to them about the Lord? And Brother Branham told us, you know, you try to find out something that they're interested in or talk about a car dealer, and he gives us some examples. And sometimes you try to talk to people, and most people is, I don't know what they think about, but it definitely is not the Lord. And it's hard to open up that conversation or to say it or where it is. And, you know, you're praying to, Lord, give me something. I don't know how to do it. And I've heard a lot of times even like, my wife and sister sometimes, man, it's really hard, and how do you get started? Well, it's the brothers the same way at some time. And I was talking about when I was at that gas pump, and that, you know what, I didn't know how to talk to that guy, so I just started, you know, I started whistling, you know, one of them. Well, it created an atmosphere. And I love what Brother Branham said the other night on leadership, and it just struck me this afternoon, is because when we come together and we sing, we are what? Worshiping the
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
We are inviting him Amen. To come. So if that's inviting the Holy Spirit to come, it is. When Satan, you hear all the rock and roll music and the country western music and all that garbage, it's inviting when you think about it. It's like, Satan, let me come worship you. Let me worship you. It has to be the same. It's worship. They're worshiping. It's a spirit. It creates an atmosphere when you sing those songs, so Satan feels welcome and he can come worship with you. So next time Satan tries to tempt you with that, kids, adults, all of us, no. You create your own atmosphere.
Yeah.
And when you create that atmosphere, it just struck me how Brother Branham said the other night, and we've got it on the gospel hymns, is the quote, you know, you're going to hear what I'm singing. He goes, I like good singing. I just love good singing. I've always said, when I get to heaven, I want to get where they're singing and listen. I never could get my fill of it. And the Branham Tabernacle is going to be down by the log cabin, hear me sing.
Amen.
I added that part. Well, we are, aren't we?
Amen.
He'll be singing Amazing Grace. I'll be singing it with him. Amen. He says, you know, singing gives courage.
Amen.
That just really blessed me. And it does when you think about it. When you start singing to the Lord, you get courage. It builds you up. He says, you know that, don't you? He says, soldiers, when they go into battle, you know what they do? They play music, they sing and things to give them courage. And we're going to battle, we sing. And it gives us courage to go on. So next time you don't know what to do, or you're around, or you want to testify to somebody, or you get down, start singing. And then he's going to give you courage. He's going to encourage you, and then you got courage. Because then you got an atmosphere that's around you, and then you can boldly go like Peter did and tell him the word and give him the word. So start singing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Or if you like me, you might just want to whistle or hum or do something. You all know quite well I can't sing good, so that's why I keep backing off this mic a little bit. But anyway, it's just make a joyful noise. That's what the scripture says in the doing it. And you know, Brother Ram says when he got nervous, he said, I just get in the car and I just start singing and patting my feet and going down. He said, pretty soon that spirit left. But it is true. If we do that, and thinking about that this afternoon is a group of people, if you do that, and sometimes if you just, people will hear you are doing it, open up the opportunity, and if that can give us courage, sometimes all we need is a little boost of encouragement.
Amen.
To doing it.
Amen.
And then he's there to tell you, I'm with you. I'm with
Amen.
You. Just that song, the atmosphere alone, it's like Brother Branham says that when a real man will look at a woman, if he's any man to him, he'll respect her. He knows.
Yeah.
He knows. They know. You've got something, they have no idea what it is. You've got the Holy Spirit living in your lives, and they can't deny that. So it's wonderful. Be proud to doing it. Let's find that last one. That's what Brother Branham says. A soul. What's a soul?
Yeah.
He says it's worth 10,000 worlds that are out there. So you've got that lays inside of you, the gift of eternal life that you can give to somebody. What the word is, that you're able to give it to somebody. They got to come the water way, the right way of what to do. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. But you've got the gift of somebody, if they'll accept it, you're able to give it to him. So we've got a lot to do. Let's find that last one so we can go home. How about that?
Amen.
And then we'll be somewhere listening. We do is that tonight is to the message that we hear tonight. It's wonderful. Is do you believe that you're a royal seed of Abraham?
Yeah.
Amen. Within a royal seed of Abraham, he says, we're inheritance to everything. So everything belongs to us. Everything that's in the word, every promise that's in the book belongs to us.
Yeah.
Like our Brother Branham said, if you inherited something, you want to go in, you want to look around, you want to get in every nook and cranny and look around. So tonight, start looking around, because once again, you've hit the mother lode again tonight. That it is. Anytime we hear the word, that's what it is. But I wanted to make a few announcements to you, is that we've had a lot of you that asked last week and trying to keep you informed of what we're going to do, and we didn't do it once again, is for communion service. And it is so important. We've been trying to get out just the logistics to make it happen, is that we're anticipating for sure that if everybody comes, and praise the Lord, everybody needs to be here to take communion.
Amen.
And if it does, we might have 800-900 people. It's a lot of people to take communion and to do foot washing. But we've got it lined out. We think we've got some more portable walls that have come in, and that we think that we can do it. And at one time that we're able going to do foot washing to 440 people at one time. So we can, yeah, that'll be wonderful. Wouldn't it be nice, all of us together, having a community foot washing? So we have a lot of stuff still to put in place, and really didn't know when to do it, and really been praying about it. And what I'd really like for us to do is the first communion is the habit would be December the 13th.
Amen.
And that's the last message Brother Branham preached was communion. And if that, the last one being in it, it'd be in our first communion here. That I'm sorry that we can't do it sooner that we possibly could and that we wanted to, but as it got so close, I just thought it'd be really appropriate
Amen.
To be able to do it on that particular night to do
Amen.
It. We even talked about, we still don't know how long that's going to take, because one of the things to let you know is maybe just having one service on that day is starting early, is that we could do it and come early in the afternoon so that we're here and we could start communion maybe at, like, we went to it at 6 o'clock. It's the Lord's Supper. It's not the Lord's breakfast. It's not the Lord's lunch, like Brother Branham told us. It's the Lord's Supper.
Amen.
So that maybe we don't know how long that's going to take and how many people would hear, but we don't want to start service at 6 o'clock, then listen to a message, and then start communion at 8 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock, and it takes 4 hours to serve everybody communion and foot washing. So it's one of the things when we get a little bit closer, we'll let you know, but that's kind of what I've been praying about doing it. Like I said, is having an afternoon service is coming in maybe 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock and having service and then start communion. Then that way we could be out early no matter what it takes. But we're pretty sure that we think that we can do it all in about 2.5 hours, 3 hours, so that we can divide the church in half, just have on each side of you for communion coming up row by row by row. And then as the whole church, after they take communion, half of the church, even if we have 900 people, half of you we can take and have foot washing all at one time. And then still have a little bit of room so that you can still stand around in the building and fellowship, because it's so nice to fellowship after you have communion and foot washing. It's just a special time for
Amen.
The body of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So it's one thing if the Lord willing, we're planning on doing. Another thing that there has been a lot around is about what we're going to do, and you're probably not going to like this a lot, is for Thanksgiving. I just don't see how that we can have special services for the Thanksgiving weekend. Is the problem of it is that we have to go all out or not at all. Is because we're limited to how many people that we can set in this building. And when we're full, we've had up to 900 people in the building. That only gives us about 300 or 400 more people, according to the fire marshal, that we can have here. We don't really have the adequate parking. We don't have the washroom facilities really to hold 1,500 people or so. And if we announce it for the holidays that we're going to have special services and have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and 2 services Sunday, we're going to have more than 400 people here. It's just going to happen. The only other thing is over at Broadbent Arena, and it's just as bad. So I've just been praying about it and talking with the brothers about it. And this time I just feel what we'll do is we'll have a Wednesday night service. And then we'll also have the Jubilee is on Sunday morning and Sunday night. We'll have those services too. So that way is that we still do, we'll have part of it together as a series in that. But just encourage you, and I know that you will. You're going to be listening to the message anyway. I know that.
Amen.
You'll be in your home. But that was the reason, and I just think as if we do announcement, I've already heard, and a lot of motels are already full and reservations and people come, and it just would be impossible to have them here. And I would hate as if we would have it here and could only hold 1,400 people, and there would be 1,400 people standing outside that couldn't get in. It would just, you know, many times Brother Branham, he did that too. He said, we just can't have it. We couldn't get the facilities. We couldn't do that. And there's no other place that it seems impossible that we need a bigger building.
Amen.
Now, well, maybe we'll just meet on the other side. There's lots of room for us over there. Amen. Amen. So that is, if the Lord willing, it'd be Wednesday night, the 25th, and then Sunday night, the 29th. But we are going to have many more. Is after that, we're going to have some really special services after that. They're going to be every Wednesday night and every Sunday morning and every Sunday night. How can it get better? He's God.
Amen.
That's how it gets better. He's God. It's got to get better. If we just get right in his program and keep going right along with his program, and the further you go up, the higher and the further you can see, and the more that it is that you see yourselves becoming sons and daughters of God, what we're supposed to be. And that I don't want to be on a rocket ship going that direction. Amen? Amen. Just a few more announcements we want to make so we can get right into the word is that it is to tell you is always on Monday morning how the enemy, that he's always right there. One of the first calls I had in the morning, I don't know if he's here tonight, Brother Paul Cecil, are you here tonight? I don't know if he was here tonight. He called me first thing, was Monday morning, and he was in a car accident, and he had totaled out a car. He was taking our sister Watson's car, I believe, to have it fixed. He ran straight into a car going 60 miles an hour on Interstate 64, and it just happened, and he called it that he had the accident to doing it, and instantly I went to prayer. It's like, Lord, be with my brother.
Amen.
And I just felt the Lord just said, I am. Next thing, I'll probably say, the angels encamp around about those that fear him.
Amen.
I just text him, no problem, I'll see you later. That's our God.
Amen.
He watches us. We think he's not around maybe sometimes. He's there. He's mindful. We also got another wonderful report of our sister is down, our sister Grace. Down in Trinidad, we just got a report right before he come. Brother Jonathan had sent it to me.
Amen.
And says that Brother Kai and them, when they went down, were there to witness. It's the first time in 8 days she come down back into her right mind, reunited with her children again, had her first meal and the family and stuff. They've been fasting and praying for the last 8 days.
Amen.
For her sister. The Lord give her back her mind.
Amen.
And she's back.
Amen.
With her family.
Amen.
That's what prayer does. That's what prayer does. Faith. Faith in your prayers. We want to specially remember the Helm family. And many of you have heard, it's hard to say, it is a tragic going of a young man at his age. Was he 17?
19
years old. He's just a young man. What a real Christian young man that he was in the family, the Helton family up in Kinistano in Canada. And relatives is our brother Lunsford and brother Jonathan in there. That's their family. And they'll be going up there, and we'll be praying for all the family as you travel to go up there to the funeral and to take our love to all the family. And it's such a mixed is that as even the mother, is it's okay to share Brother Ernie, is when he had called and talked to the family and he talked to the mother and after it passed away, and as if many of you don't know what had happened, we put it in. He was cutting with the settling torch, I guess, and it exploded. And it just took him instantly. But in the last couple of weeks, he's been talking to his mother about the Holy Spirit. And he had heard something we had said here talking about making sure and having the Holy Spirit, if I got that wrong. And he said he'd just been talking to his mom, that I know I got it and into the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And so the Lord knows when to take us home.
Amen.
We don't understand. We get in our minds and our thought the when it is. And you know, we feel for the great loss that it is going to be the family and hard. And he had talked to the mother and she was inside of the house and said, the undertaker hasn't come yet. Said his body's out there, but he ain't out there. He's in glory.
Amen.
What a testimony. What a testimony. You know, I told Brother Ernie, I said, I got a tape quote on that one right there. I said, Brother Branham says, before the undertaker comes and takes the body, they're sitting in the presence of Almighty God.
Amen.
Oh, man.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What do we have to fear? Nothing. Amen. Nothing. You're here and going through all this in a blink of an eye, and you're over the other side with all them on the other side. Oh, my goodness.
Amen.
Sakes. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. But we do want to remember the family, and like I said, that the Lunsfords will be traveling and going up there, so let's let them know we'll be praying for them. I told you real quick, one last one, is this is really pretty neat that we were praying for Brother Adam Adams and Brother Joe Canal. We sent them down to Guadalajara, Mexico, and they were down there with the Sanchez family, and I don't know if a lot of you that know the Sanchez family, just a real group of believers that are down in Mexico. They love this message with all their heart, and they're into the Word. They're wonderful. They've come up to the camp a few times and everything. And so they went down there, and we were doing some filming down there for the Cub Corner. And so I never realized we were trying to set a schedule for the brothers to go down there and film with the family and stuff, and it's like, okay, just go down. Next week we'll go. Well, we sent them down, and they're on their way down, and one of the brothers texts me and says, well, you know there's the worst hurricane ever in the world coming to Guadalajara. It's like, oops. That was the human side, the oops. The other side is, if you're going in the name of the Lord to do the Lord's job, you ain't got nothing to worry about. So wonderful. If we're living for Him and we're trying, no matter where we go, what we do, don't worry about nothing. He's going to take care of you. Whatever happens to you, God's let it happen for a reason. It's like, okay, what you going to do next, Lord? He's there. Yeah. So He was watching over them and protecting them. And I mean, you know, it's like, went to the Weather Channel app, of course, you know, and it's like the worst in history. It's never been recorded. And we don't even know the winds and how much is coming and everything else and devastation and flooding. And, you know, the eye is going to hit the coast and then go to Guadalajara City or wherever they were there. It's like, Lord, they're in your hands. We pray for them. They pray for them. This is what happened. You've probably heard this, and if you haven't, it's wonderful. He said, this is the translation of the article Brother Antonio read to me after the hurricane went away. Meteorologists around the world cannot make out how Patricia, after being the most dangerous mega hurricane on record, due to its force and violence, weakened, becoming a Category 1 hurricane in just 2 hours. Amen.